Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 4 of Philippians. I'll read it first. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Satenti that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat you also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything be by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Or Christ Jesus, excuse me. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, with therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Excuse me. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but only you. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again to my necessity, not because I desired the gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell of sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you. Chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Okay, let's go back and see what he does here to wrap this up. In that first verse again, he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast. Well, that word stand fast literally means persevere. And to me, persevere has a lot more meaning into it than it does just stand fast. It means you're going to endure something. Okay? You're going to have some pressures. So he says, stand fast or persevere in the Lord, beloved. The words my dearly aren't even supposed to be there, but they are. King James added them. In verse 2 it goes on and says, I beseech Euodias. You know what that means? The name means fragrant, but it has another meaning too. It means help on the road. And what did she do? Paul talked about what great help they were on while they in their travels. See? And so her name also means help on the road. So and beseech Syntyche that they or with fate, that they be, or exercise, excuse me. Her name means with fate. So those two came together. It was a destiny. Would you believe that? That God had planned these two to come by and help Paul in his ministry? And see, most people don't realize the women were honored for what they did in the gospel. And most people say that, you know, women, yeah, they have nothing to do with this thing. See, women ain't supposed to talk to church today, they say. They still say that stuff because they're ignorant. And there's a verse that Paul wrote said, let the ignorant be ignorant. If they want to be ignorant, let them just be ignorant. Just don't worry about them. Just go on and live your life. Don't let them drag you down. But he said they should exercise the same mind in the Lord. Exercise. What would that mean? Look at the difference. It says they be of the same mind or they exercise the same mind. Which one tells you more?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not just knowing something, but it's there's a verb implied in this thing that you should be active in what you're doing of the same mind. It should be something you're doing that shows what.
Says that they worked in harmony.
That's a good thing. Verse 3, it says, and entreat thee also, or request you, and he said, and I also request you also, genuine colleagues, help those or aid those women which labor with me in the gospel with Clement, okay? And his name speaks of merciful and mild. Also, and with other or the remaining ones, the remnant, my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. See, the remaining ones or the remnant whose names are in the book of life. Yeah, a lot of people try to say that this message of the third day and tabernacles and the first fruit is a message of separation, and it's not. Without the first fruit, how are you going to have the rest of the harvest?
It should be a message of oneness.
It's a message of oneness is what it is. In fact, the Feast of Tabernacles was called a Feast of Ingathering, a Feast of Booths, a Feast of Oneness, or the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, four different names for the same thing, all identifying portions of that feast. It's all about being one. But until the first group, the first fruit is made one with Christ, how's the rest of it going to get done? Because that's their job, to bring the rest of creation in. Mm-hmm. So,
a different viewpoint,
but they bring it in. When we have the mind of Christ, and people say, oh, I have the mind of Christ. Really? Have you ever met anybody that was totally in the mind of Christ?
Yeah.
I haven't either.
No,
me included, you know. I'm saying, you know, hey, these people say, oh, I got saved yesterday, and I got the mind of Christ. Really? I don't know what storybook you've been reading, but it's not don't happen that way. Jesus walked 33 years on this earth, 30 of them before his ministry started, and the book says he learned obedience through the things he suffered. How they figure they go to church for 2 or 3 days or a week and they got the mind of Christ already?
You gave them one of those little certificates when they got
back. I never thought, but the pastor signed it, didn't he? I missed that one. They didn't.
They did.
They didn't. They didn't know what it was.
But they heard it.
Yeah.
It is, and that's true.
That's what they think.
If you show up for enough classes, then you'll get the certificate. Yeah. Oh, well. Bless their little hearts. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord at all times, is what it should say. And once more I say, rejoice. That's what it literally says in the language. So he says, rejoice at all times, and once more I say, rejoice. Let your moderation or your patient, mild, and gentleness be known to who? The word there, all men, the word men is anthropos, it's all humanity. So all humanity should know your mildness and your gentleness in your way of life. Not abrupt and harsh and nasty to people. And I see people all the time that are church-going people. And I've heard it said this way, when they get out, they kick their wife, spit on their dog, and slap their kids before they get out of the parking lot. But they really had a great time in church today.
Yeah,
I have to know my own humanity and get it right before I can ever do anything for anybody else.
Yeah. And then it reflect out to.
Yeah, that's grace.
Whoever, yeah.
That's grace.
Yeah.
That's the grace.
The grace of God in you.
Yep. And they can't see it until you live it.
They don't like it.
No. But let it be known to all humanity, the Lord is what?
At hand.
Near. The Lord is near. See, when you say the Lord is at hand, you know what that denotes in most people's minds? He's just about ready to pop through the clouds.
My Amplified said he's coming soon.
They thought that this week when they had that
flood. Yeah. Yeah. But what it says, he's near. Now, what does near denote?
He's right here.
He's right in you.
He's in you.
He's within each one of us. He's near. He's in us. You know. But see, they can't pick up on it because God hasn't given the grace to see this stuff yet. So.
It's one of them signs. It's one of them signs.
I heard it all week. And nothing happened.
Maybe you got the audience there and got the time wrong.
Okay, verse 6. Be careful for nothing or be what?
Anxious.
Anxious is what it should say. For nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. What is supplication?
Sure.
Huh?
Kind of requesting is.
What'd you say? I didn't hear.
Is it kind of requesting?
It is a type of requesting, but it's a humble requesting, a humble asking or humble requesting. The word humble is part of that understanding of it.
Make it not strange that the line before that says he's coming soon, and the next one says be anxious for nothing.
Yeah. So don't worry about it, because you have no control over it anyway, so just calm down and live your life, and it'll be what God wants. See, most people think they can change their course, and I don't think you can. You know, I don't believe in free will. That's a figment of the religious mind that you've been told that you can change everything. It's your free will. But the book says in many places that God's plans and purposes will prevail. So if his plans and purposes will prevail, then how could anybody else's do anything? His is the one that's going to win out. So, but they don't see that. You know, they're still caught up in their self. But with prayer and humble requests and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Did he say scream it out to everybody else too? Okay. And the peace of God, which excels, not passes, but excels all intellect. It excels all intellect, is what it should say. That means his ways, it says, is above our ways. His mind is superior to our minds. And the human mind, and that's the intellect, the human mind, has no capacity to understand that peace. You know why? Because they've never experienced it. You can't understand something you haven't experienced, can you really?
No.
You need an experience of it to understand it. You can read in a book, but that doesn't tell you what it is.
You just got a theory.
You got theories. All kinds of theories. And theories is not solid.
No.
They may or may not be right. So that's not a good situation.
They got an idea about it.
They got some idea. And probably a lot of it is their own conjecture in their own mind. So
doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah, no. But it excels all intellect. It shall what? Guard your hearts and minds, or your thoughts, through Christ Jesus. See, if you understand this peace of God, which excels all intellect, it will guard you. See, if you know the truth, and I'm going to tell you, the truth of the matter is this. If you know that God loves you, you know you're a child of God. You are guarded. Do you hear what that says? You're guarded. He said it will guard you through Jesus Christ, right?
You put a hedge around it.
Absolutely. If you know these things he just told you right there, if you know that, not intellectually, but you know it by experience, guess what? You've had that hedge around you, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Job said, you know, or the Satan said to Job, right? He got a hedge about him because he knew something. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever are honest or honorable, okay? Whatsoever things are just or holy, whatsoever things are pure and are lovely, and the word lovely is pleasing and acceptable, whatsoever of good report, and that's well spoken of. if there be any virtue or virtuous course of thought, and if there be any commendable thing, think on these things. What should you be doing with all that negative, nasty stuff we hear every day in life? Don't pay attention to it.
Go to the beach.
Yeah.
Take your mind to the beach.
There you go. Take a cruise. Yeah. Don't think on these things, these bad things. Let them go. Didn't he say, don't take thought for tomorrow because the day has enough evil to suffice for it? No, don't. If you meditate on it, you're cultivating things, those negative thoughts in your mind.
Absolutely.
And you don't need that.
Well, like we were saying, I mean, you were talking earlier about the people don't understand freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So that peace that passes understanding.
Same thing. They can't.
Same thing. They cannot understand it because they've not never.
They've never experienced it yet. They've never tasted of God's freedom and His liberty and His love.
When you are in that freedom and liberty, they look at you like you're an
alien.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Look at you like you're an alien. He says we're aliens and sojourners passing through. This isn't our home. We're just passing through. This is just our school where we're learning things. That's all it is.
I got an A on my shirt.
Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received, that's Revelations, and heard and seen in me, do. Well, the word do doesn't do it justice. How's that? It should say habitually practice them.
Yep.
Let it be your model and your way of living.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, habitually practice this thing. It means do it over and over and over and over, do the same thing. And doesn't the book say that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Isn't that discipline?
Sure, it's discipline. But if you do it the same yesterday, today, and forever, you're always the same. You change not. See? It's a pattern that you said, because you're reacting out of your being, not out of what happened. It's not a reaction, but it's an action coming forth out of your very being. That's just who you are. But when you react to some situation, that's a reaction. That could be anything.
Isn't that love versus law?
Sure it is. That's all this is telling you the difference between the two and showing you're a child of God. You should be living as a child of God. Don't worry what the world says you are. Live what you know you are. Don't worry about what anybody thinks about you.
None of your business.
It's none of your business what they think. Absolutely.
Be who you be.
Just be free.
Just what your character is.
And it says there again, do habitually, and the God of peace shall be what?
In
the midst of you.
Oh, it's Meta.
Meta, yeah, in the midst of you. Okay. So if, see, and why would it say he shall be in the midst of you if you do these things?
Because
those are the nature of God. And that's showing you and proving to you that the nature of God dwells within you and you're just reacting from your nature of your God. That's all you can do. When Jesus was going to the cross and it said when they was beating him and doing all those horrible things to him, he did not respond. He went as a mute lamb to the slaughter. See, that was his nature, not to murmur, not to complain. He had a mission and his mission was to go to that cross and die. He knew that ahead of time. How many times did they try to kill him ahead of time? He said, it's not yet my time. He knew it. And if God gives you a mission in your life, no matter how small it is, nobody can take you away from that. Nobody can. Not even you. You can't stop and change what God has set in motion. See, if you understand that and believe that, what fear would you have about anything in life? None. That's what he's trying to convey to you. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. Power, love, and a sound mind. When he tells you things and you understand these things, he tells you, you're going to do these certain things until you get them done. Paul referred to that. When they was trying to kill him, he said, God said I'd go speak before kings and I haven't done it yet.
Isn't that
see? Same thing.
I'm sorry. That sound mind, like you said, that you know, we stand firm.
Yep.
We persevere. That sound mind is the only way you can do that.
Absolutely. But you have to believe what God has placed within you. And see, so many people say, well, maybe it is, I don't know.
Well, I think when we realize that our identity is the image of Christ and his characteristics, it shows.
Sure it does.
There's others that's searching for that they start going into all this other religious mess to try to find their identity in that. And it's not there either.
You don't have to convince a dog he's a dog, do you? You don't have to convince a cat they're a cat. They do what's in their nature. But see, we've lost our identity. We lost our identity in the Garden of Eden with Adam. And all of humanity lost their identity at that time. And that's all he's doing now. That's why he said in John 14:26, I'm going to call all things to remembrance whatever soever I've said to you.
But when the Christ was resurrected, that image came back again.
Well, but only when it was resurrected in you as an individual. As an individual, not the one on the cross.
Right.
But it's an individual thing.
In me.
When it's resurrected in each individual as it comes along, there it is. See? Then you know who you are. He knew who he was going to the cross.
Right.
See? Because...
So there's the sound line.
Huh?
There's the sound.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing full well. So we have to realize that there's going to be things God asks us to do. We may not like to do them. We may not choose to do them, but guess what? People may not like you for doing them, but who cares? If that's his mission for me, what have I got to do? Fulfill the mission. You know, that's all there is to it. So I don't worry about any of the other things. You know, that don't make any difference.
The GPS says you have left your destination.
You have left your course.
Yeah.
Your designated route.
Do you wish to continue?
Yes, I'm going to continue. Okay, verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, because now at last your not care but your concern of me, it's the word concern has flourished, wherein you were also concerned, not careful, but concerned, but you lacked opportunity. They were concerned with Paul, but they didn't have the opportunity to do anything about it at the time. That's what he's saying. They had concern for him, but they couldn't do anything about it.
They
couldn't, because they didn't know what to do. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, because I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Okay? In all. Okay? He said, I know both, verse 12, how to be abased, and I know how to abound in all. And in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things, not through Christ, but in Christ, which the one that strengthens or empowers me. So let me read that again. I can do all things in Christ, the one which empowers me. That's what it should say. Does it say that way? Okay, cool. That's the way it should say it. And when it says I can do all things through Christ, it gives me the understanding that I'm using Christ as a tool. Okay? That I can use him to accomplish. That's what it gives me the impression in my understanding. But when it says I can do all things in Christ, guess what? I don't see that anymore. I'm relaxed because it's the Christ doing it and I'm inside. See, everyone has Christ in them. True?
True.
But everybody is not in Christ. Is that clear to you? See, if Christ is in all of us, he's inside of us and they see us first. But if I am in Christ, they don't see me, they see Christ. So it's not me, like Paul says, not I, but the Christ within me that strengthens me and does all things. And it has to be changed around to where Christ is the forefront of everything in our lives, where they don't see Dave's nature or Lloyd's nature or Lisa's nature or Lois's nature or anybody else's nature, but they see the nature of Christ. That's who you really are. You're not really those people's names that we go by. Sure, we're still double-minded in some way. Because see, if they don't know the Christ, they can't possibly be in Christed, could they? But when we're in Christed, we don't have anything to worry about because he's the one taking the lead.
Well, you know, in the characteristic of the Christ is like you said, you know, all the things about having a sound mind and being able. They think a good person is one that goes to church every
absolutely
and drives the church bus and
cuts the grass and cleans the bathroom and the kitchens
that's,
and everything.
That's a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And see, they're double minded because they don't see all the other places where it said just not by works. Well, if you're blind and deaf, you know, they can't help it.
Yeah.
Until God lets us see. I mean, we walked in the same realm.
Yeah.
At one time, we walked blind and deaf.
Absolutely.
And we thought we were in the tall cotton. We just thought we had it all done, you know. And then as God began to take us further and further and further and further, we realized, oh my goodness, we don't know anything.
I'm still.
Well, absolutely, every day.
That's what setting you free. Whenever you
yep.
You don't have to.
If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, my disciplined ones, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And literally, what makes you free?
The truth you know.
The truth you know. Not, this is truth, but do we know it? If we don't understand it, and knowing it is not just intellectually knowing it, but experientially knowing it.
Yeah.
We've experienced it and know it's the truth.
It'll make you actually freedom.
Oh, make you freedom, and then you can hand it to somebody else.
That's where they're seeing those accents, and they don't understand it. A lot of times you get waxed out about, you know, they don't understand. They're waxing out. The accents coming out of you from God, they're called bad.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yep, they sure do that.
Doesn't it say something about don't let the...
That the evil be spoke, the good be evil spoken of.
Yeah. I can't
get it out. It's all right. Verse 14, he says, Paul says, notwithstanding, or literally, nevertheless, you have well done, you did communicate or fellowship with my philipsis, my pressures. That's what the word is there for affliction. It's pressures. So he says, nevertheless, you have done well done that you fellowshipped with my pressures. So you understood. See, if I have fellowship with your situation, then I have the same experience you're having, right? See, I'm fellowshipping. So I'm learning some of those pressures. Every one of us won't go through every single thing. So the way we share in fellowship in good and the bad, right? We fellowship at all. It's a communion with all of it. See, we got to, whether it's good or bad, be thankful and all. Then he say, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, something like that, wasn't it?
Prayer,
supplication.
Thanks.
Yep. Okay, verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, the good news, when I departed from Macedonia. That's the extended land, way out, you know. No church, no ecclesia, no one that was called out, fellowshipped or shared with me as concerning or as concerning and giving and receiving, but you only, or except you. And now there's a word there that's wrong. That word concerning, there's actually two words there. Eis logos.
Into the word
of giving and receiving. No one shared with me as concerning or into the word of giving and receiving. So he's putting somebody on notice. They just didn't do exactly what they should have done. Okay? Verse 16, because even in Thessalonica, and Thessalonica means a false victory, you sent once and again, or twice, it should say once and twice, to my necessity. Right? Not because I desire the gift, but I desire fruit that may abound, or will give, it should say this, I desire fruit that will give increase to your account. What's that word, account? Logos.
Boy, that really throws it off.
Sure does. That word, account, logos, 3056 in the Strong's Greek Dictionary, it means words. It gives to your words.
Not to your bank account.
No, to your words. See?
3056.
3056 is a number, isn't it?
Yep.
See? So it's really important to understand that, you know, he said, I desire this fruit that it give increase, it will give increase to your words. So when you speak, your words will have power and authority to accomplish something. And did he say, my words will not return void, but it shall accomplish what I've sent it there to do? See, if you understand these things and put these little pieces together, your belief system, your faith, and I hate to say system, your belief and your faith become so strong, nothing will affect you. That's your shield. It just puts a shield around you. Like Lois said, puts the hedge around you.
Is that the peace of God?
Sure, it's peace of God. When you know that God's protected you.
That calmness in the midst of any kind of storm.
That surpasses their understanding or exceeds everything, all the intellect.
No plagues shall come upon them.
No plagues. That's right. So you see these things, and when you see these things, they all start just, you start seeing little pieces coming from everywhere. Come, like you use the pixel thing, you know, you start seeing those little pixels of light coming into this one place, just coming from everywhere, putting it all together, and there's your shield. And he, didn't it say something about putting on the whole armor of God?
Mm-hmm. It's all tied together, knitting so tightly and getting stronger.
Nothing's getting through.
It's getting stronger.
Yep. But nothing else can get through that. Verse 18 says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, and that means devoted, someone's devoted to him, the things which were sent from you, a fragrance, not an odor, but a fragrance of a sweet smell, of a sacrifice accepted, well-pleasing to God. So what you did, he said, what they did from the position of love. They sent things to assist him on his way, and God saw them as a devoted love to him, to assist him in the ministry, and it was well-pleasing unto God. That's what he's telling us.
Now, is it thorough? And is it in Proverbs where he says we're sweet fragrance?
There's several places where it says sweet smelling. In the sacrifices of the Old Testament, they talked about them being sweet-smelling savors unto God. When they were done from the heart. Even under the law, when they were going through that time, you know, God recognized that someone was faithful, just like he said about David. David was a man after my own heart, even though he made many mistakes, but he knew where he was headed. He was learning from those mistakes. He didn't get condemnation from them. He got a learning from them.
He knew where it was coming from.
Yep. Verse 19, but my God shall not supply, but satisfy all your need according to his richness, not riches, but richness in glory in Christ Jesus. Not by Christ Jesus, but in Christ Jesus. See, when we become in Christ, that's when everything starts coming together. Verse 20 goes on and says this, now to God our Father be glory into the age of ages. Amen. There's no end to his glory. 21 goes on and says, salute or embrace every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren with me greet you or embrace you. 22, all the saints embrace you, chiefly or most of all, or especially the ones from Caesar's household. Okay, from out of his household. And you know what his name means? Caesar's? Severed. The ones that are severed out. Remember the ones that are chosen? The ones that are separated unto God? That's what the church likes to call that, sanctified, but it means separated for God, the sanctification. So these are the ones that are severed. In Caesar's house, they were severed from the rest of them. The grace of our Lord, and what's the grace mean? The divine influence in our heart, in the heart of humanity, and a reflection of that into our lifestyle. Isn't that what we're talking about? God's doing something in us, and it begins to show to people outside what He's doing inside of us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be meta with you all, in the midst of you all. Amen.
Amen.
It's in the midst of us all. Now, it's not in the midst of everyone on the face of earth. We know that, don't we? But the ones that's got ears to hear are hearing. So thank God for all of that.